I'd like to call the meeting to order. The time is approximately 7:38 p.m. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the public notice on August 14, 2018, faxing to three newspapers designated by the board, Hunterdon County Democrat, Hunterdon Review, and Express Times, posting on the district website, the main bulletin board in the administration offices, and in each Clinton Township school. Faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. Kilpatrick, can we have the roll call, please?
Yes. Mrs. Grant? Mrs. McLaughlin?
Here.
Mrs. Brennan? Mr. Holliday?
Here.
Mr. Malloy?
Here.
Mrs. Olowski?
Here.
Mrs. Rodagora? Absent.
Kevin's at 100.
We all have.
Thank you, Mr. Kilpatrick. Mr. Kobe, lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yes.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Malloy, will you serve as the process guardian this evening?
Yes, I will.
Are we okay for recording?
I think we'll be locked in today.
Or should we go?
Did they take Mr. Hatt?
It's not on.
I think we're done with the day. It's not on.
Anybody hear this?
No.
Can you folks hear this? I would be very relieved if I knew the strap.
Can everybody hear us now? Okay, good evening. Mrs. Grant is unable to make the meeting tonight due to a family medical emergency, so I will be running the meeting this evening. We're going to make a slight change to the agenda. Mrs. Gove will be giving her HIB presentation prior to our executive session. Mrs. Gove? Wait for him to turn the projector on. Thank you for your patience. All right, I can get started. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, members of the Board of Education and members of the public and staff who are here tonight. It's wonderful to see all of you. Can everyone hear me okay? I said, no worries if the mic's not on. I can shout if needed. I'm here this evening as our district's anti-bullying coordinator to share with you the results of our school self-assessment and grading program under the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights Act. Nothing has really changed from previous presentations, so I'll just give a quick overview of why I'm talking to you this evening. The Commissioner of Education requires public schools and districts to receive a grade for our efforts in implementing the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights. So each school has a school safety team that's also established as part of the legislation. And it's that team that actually utilizes the assessment that's provided by the state to score ourselves and rate how well we have done in implementing this important act, and also find some areas that we will continue to work upon. This self-assessment was actually distributed much later this year. We actually received it in June. So our school safety teams got together at the end of the school year and reviewed the assessment, and I'll go through what the assessment itself is and then how each of our schools did in meeting the requirements. I already talked about a lot of this. The self-assessment was done in June. We're required to share the results with the Board of Ed prior to the submission to the state, which is due by September 30th. At that point, after I present to you this evening, answer any questions that you may have, it will be submitted to the state. They will review all of the information as well as the supporting documentation, and they will be issuing our school and district grade reports at some time during the 18-19 school year, typically as sometime in the winter or early spring. Grade reports will then also be reviewed at the Board of Education meeting after they're received, and then we have 10 days to post them on the website so that they're available for the public. Typically in the past, what we have submitted, actually never in my experience, has it changed from what we've submitted to when we actually receive our official report. So the self-assessment itself also did not change this year. There are 8 elements that is divided into that we must assess ourselves and ensure that we're meeting the requirements and supporting our students. So the elements are our programs, approaches, and initiatives, policy training, staff instruction and training, curriculum and instruction, personnel, incident reporting procedures, investigation procedures, and reporting. And the self-assessment uses a rating category as a scale with 4 categories. 0 means that we do not meet the requirements, all the way up to 3, which means we exceed the requirements. So each of the 4 schools last year with the school safety teams did complete the self-assessment, and we did score very well as we have in previous years. In fact, our scores are very similar to what they've been in the past too. The highest score that each school can earn is a 78, and as you can see, our district average is a 76, with each of the buildings scoring approximately the same. Spruce Run had a 75, PMG was 77, Round Valley was 77, and the middle school was 76. I'd really like to highlight something that we're very proud of, is that we actually met or exceeded each of the areas of assessment. So what that means, what will we do? We're very proud of how we support our students and the programs that we have in place. We are planning to continue the programs that we currently have. And as a district, we'd like to continue to work to meet or exceed the requirements and ensure that we have safe, happy, and healthy environments for our students and our staff within our schools. We'll continue to assess our programs and practices to ensure positive and safe school environments. One of the areas, for example, in Spruce Run, one of the areas we scored 1 point lower than the other schools, the state requires that we meet at least twice every year with our school safety teams. And this year at Spruce Run, while we met the required number of times, we actually didn't exceed it. So it's examples like that of why we might fall short in one school or shorter than the others in one school or another. But overall, we really do feel that we have very effective programs in place. Something this year that's new, there is new legislation regarding HIB, and we as schools and members of the public and our staff will be looking very carefully at our policy and some model policies that will come from other agencies that support our schools. There is now the opportunity to include some discretion in whether or not to conduct an investigation. So we'll be exploring that, attending some training, and really deciding whether or not that's something that we'd like to recommend for our school district. But that was a big change this year that we would like to explore and make some decisions about. So we'll continue to review our policy and continue to support our students. Are there any questions about our self-assessment grades?
Do any board members have any questions?
I have a few. Just in process last
year.
That's okay. We'll make sure I'll remember. It's a self-assessment.
Yes.
Right? So nobody wants to give themselves a bad grade. And I'm not saying there is any reason for such, but how do you kind of guarantee that you're pushing yourselves? And then do you compare yourselves from a policy perspective to the other school districts to look at their policies related to HIB to see if there is room for improvement, or you know that you're actually exceeding what you want because compared to somebody else's that are maybe lacking or less robust.
Right.
And then the state has not changed anything. Is it reviewed by the state? Is it a separate board? Is it an independent board that actually might dig harder than the state who doesn't want to maybe see some bad grades?
You might have to remind me some of your questions.
Yeah.
The first one, it is a self-assessment, but it's a very intense self-assessment. And actually, there is required documentation that we have to put together. So it's a very lengthy document that goes through, and they actually require evidence for each of the areas. So you really can't score yourself differently or give yourself a higher score than you may deserve because you're required to have the documentation. And it's a team approach too, so it's really nice. And so it's not just one person saying, I think we get a 2 on this. Like, we actually get in the conference room, gather all of the data, and have our binders prepared with all the supporting documentation. So it really is, there are a lot of checks and balances within to make sure that we really are meeting the requirements. In terms of working with other districts, yes, we do. Through our involvement, through training, and we work very closely with NJPSA. David Nash is a lawyer who will be coming actually next month, hopefully, to be presenting a board training on HIV. And he's a wonderful contact and a wonderful resource. So if there's ever a question, we do have folks that we can talk to and ask questions of. And through attending trainings, we also have the opportunities to talk with other districts as well, share ideas, compare, and make sure that we're meeting the same standards that they are. And then that's what the state does, too. They actually do have a pretty rigorous process. I know that when I've been involved at the county level in years past, there's usually a review board. I haven't participated at the state level on the board that reviews this, but I would expect that it's similar, where again, they take our data, they compare it to other information that we've submitted. We do another report in January and in June that talks about the programs and trainings that we've done, and they check to make sure that how we scored ourselves actually compares to what we report that we do. So it would be very difficult to not have accurate information on here. Does that answer all of your questions?
Like, how does the state, you know, is it the state or is it an independent board that then reviews?
You know, I don't know. I don't know that. I'd have to look into that and let you know.
Thank you.
Sure. Do any other board members have questions? Seeing none, Mr. Kilpatrick, can you read the executive session statement?
Yes. Whereas while the Senate... Whereas while Senator Byron M. Baer, Oakland Township Board of Education, to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12b sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, for example, without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12b to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any pending or anticipated litigation or contract negotiation in which the public body is or may become a party, any matters falling within the attorney-client privilege to the extent that confidentiality is required in order for the attorney to exercise his ethical duties as a lawyer. The nature of the matter described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality. Reviewing hearing information before the board pursuant to NJSA 18A:37-13.2, attorney-client privilege, personnel, and negotiations. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be no longer than 60 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it therefore resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists.
Thank you.
Action may be taken upon return.
Thank you. Do I have a motion to go into executive session?
Motion.
Mr. Foy? Dr. Foy? Second?
Second.
Ms. Zalowski? All in favor?
Say it out loud.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We are now in executive session. I just want to make an announcement. We put 60 minutes. We don't anticipate 60 minutes, but we will do our best to be much sooner than 60 minutes.
Oh, where's Jen?
She took a bath.
We lost a board member.
Yeah, cool bath.
Can I start with
that? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd like to make a motion to come out of executive session. The time is 8:54 p.m.
Motion.
Motion, Dr. Foy. I'm looking for a second.
A second.
I think if Ms. Brennan had it first. Ms. Brennan, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Abstentions? Opposed? We are now back from executive session. I'd like to apologize because I tried really hard to get them under 60 minutes, but they like to talk. So, with that being said, I'm going to provide the president's report tonight. I have several different items to go through. So, I'm going to start with an update on our reorganization. On Monday, May 31st, 2018, the Board of Education voted to approve a recommendation by the district's administration to reorganize the Clinton Township School District from four buildings to three for the 2018-19 school year. To be more specific, the reorganization has repurposed Spruce Run School so that it will now serve students in preschool and pre-kindergarten. Students in grades K, 1, and 2 will attend Patrick McGarren School. Grades 3, 4, 5 will attend Round Valley School, and grades 6, 7, 8 will go to Clinton Township Middle School. The grade reorganization will provide enhanced educational experiences for our students while addressing operational challenges resulting from a sharp decline in student enrollment, insurmountable increases in healthcare benefits, the rising cost of staff salaries, the continued growth in the expense of unfunded state mandates, aging buildings, and in delivering special education services. Over the years, the Board of Education has stated an endless number of times that it would not take any action that would negatively change or negatively impact the education that we deliver to the children in our community. The Board and the district's administration are dedicated to completely supporting the social, emotional, and academic growth and well-being of our children. Within the construct of this reorganization, the district will not exceed the county or state average in class size to save money, and class size composition will remain the same in each of our buildings. The only differences that the children will experience under this reorganization is that kindergarten and first grade students will be in Patrick McGarren School earlier than they have been historically. Third grade students will enter Round Valley School 1 year earlier than they have traditionally, and the sixth grade students will attend Clinton Township Middle School a year earlier than in recent years. According to David Hespy, former New Jersey Commissioner of Education and educational consultant to the Clinton Township School Board, there are many benefits that the children in Clinton Township will realize with this reorganization, including fewer transitions, additional co-curricular activities, along with enhanced social, emotional, and intellectual activities and opportunities. Some of these benefits include grade 3 students attending Round Valley School will have new co-curricular options, for example, instrumental music. Children in sixth grade will have access to more co-curricular programs when they attend Clinton Township Middle School. For example, sports teams, art club, video journalism, online news, Camerata Singers, drama club, lawfare adventures, movie making, student council, yearbook, Relay for Life, and poetry club. Clinton Township Middle School was designed and built to teach students utilizing the middle school model, including departmentalized instruction and schedules that provide them with a solid bridge to high school. Sixth grade students will now be able to take advantage of this building's layout and structure. Students in kindergarten and first grade will benefit from a larger recess space at Patrick McGarren School. All children will be attending school with students in clusters that are closer to their developmental stages of maturation. Students will attend each school for a longer period of time than in recent years, and therefore they will have fewer transitions from building to building over their elementary and middle school years. This permits students to remain in familiar surroundings with the same staff for a longer period of time, allowing them to establish, build, and sustain relationships. The reorganization increases the total number of students per building, facilitating more student involvement in activities, thus enriching their overall academic, social, and emotional experience in the district. Special education transitions will have a 3-year span, allowing students with special needs to remain in a familiar environment for a longer period of time. The reorganization plan allows Spruce Run School to be repurposed as an early childhood center capable of serving as a revenue-generating educational program facility. The board feels strongly that the implementation of several small revenue-generating educational programs in Spruce Run School will allow the district to break even with the operating costs of that building. It was recommended not to lease to a non-educational program or sell Spruce Run School so that the district could maintain it as an educational facility if the student population were to grow in the future. The operation of the school as an educational facility provides the district with the option to move students back to Spruce Run School if enrollment increases. This could be done without the need to upgrade the facility to new building codes, which would save the district an enormous amount of money. With this reorganization plan, the estimated savings is $900,000 in the first year, with one-time reorganizational costs of $140,000 to $150,000. The anticipated full savings to the district of over $1 million annually is projected to be realized beginning in the 2019-2020 school year. Savings from the reorganization will be achieved through a reduction in transportation and personnel costs, primarily through the redeployment of staff. Based on the projected enrollment and with the reorganized grade level locations, Roughly 12 positions were reduced, accounting for retirements and resignations from last year. These reductions were made through attrition. This means that while not everyone holds exactly the same position he or she had last year, transfers were made in keeping with certification requirements, and all personnel remain employed. This reorganization was completed without anyone losing their job. Overall impact. The overall impact of the reorganization is that class size standards remain the same. There will be a higher efficiency of the building capacity use, a change in Round Valley school starting and ending times, 8:50 a.m. to 3:10 p.m. Transportation routes, riding time, will be the same as this year, averaging between 30 and 35 minutes. A robust curriculum will continue to be delivered with opportunities for program enhancements. There will also be anticipating savings of $900,000 in the first year and $1 million thereafter. As we have mentioned before, the timing of this reorganization was like a perfect storm. The exact number of staff had either retired or had left the district at the end of the 2017-2018 school year, resulting in not one staff member losing their job. Subsequently, the staff retirements and resignations aligned with the needs of the reorganization. The time of year when the administration had made the recommendation to reorganize the district was also ideal because it coincided with all of the planning that began for the 2018-2019 school year. Recently, the reorganization occurred when the district had suddenly lost roughly $302,000 of its state aid. This could have been an unforeseen setback had it not been for the district's reorganization. Many of the other districts that lost state aid have been forced to reduce the size of their teaching force, and thus their class sizes have increased. Fortunately, through the timeliness of the district's reorganization, we were able to avoid these type of harmful actions. On behalf of the Board of Education, I am happy to report that the reorganization targeted for completion on August 14, 2018, was completed 2 weeks earlier under the impeccable leadership of our acting superintendent, Mrs. Michelle Cohn, and her hardworking and competent staff. This past week, members of the Board of Education toured our schools, and we are very pleased with how the reorganization was executed and its outcome. The success of this project can be attributed to the very dedicated and talented staff that helped to scope, plan, and prepare the project from the beginning, and to those that worked long hours this summer to provide the proper management and execution of the thorough plan. As teachers move into their classrooms tomorrow, they will have time to begin to organize their materials in ways that will make their classrooms run successfully. We also noted areas of challenge during our tour. The board authorized additional staff to come in and remedy areas of need. For example, some classrooms at Round Valley School targeted for air conditioning installation were not yet complete. Additionally, some primary classrooms needed furniture moved and additional boxes unpacked. The board would like to thank Mrs. Cohn, Mrs. Hinkle, our administrators, board office staff, members of our custodial maintenance team, our teachers, teaching assistants, secretaries, summer help, and support staff for their hard work, dedication, support, and cooperation that made this district reorganization a success. I would like to extend a special thank you to Mrs. Sue High, our Director of Special Projects Transition, who worked every day in July and August to ensure that the move went smoothly and that the rooms were all organized for our teachers and staff when they arrive on Tuesday morning. I personally want to tell you that I toured all four schools for 4 hours on Friday, and I wish that Sue High had helped me move, because again this year in my own classroom I moved, and Sue High did an outstanding job. So I hope that if you see Sue High, you give her some words of encouragement, because she really dedicated herself this summer. During our monthly boarding meeting in September, we will honor and recognize many employees who went above and beyond to make sure that both of our students and staff would walk into their school ready to learn. The board is eager for the start of another exciting year of learning in the Clinton Township School District, and look forward to welcoming our staff back into district tomorrow morning and our students back on September 4th, 2018. I'm next going to read a safety and security update. The safety and security of our children and staff are always at the forefront of this Board of Education's minds. Our administration has and continues to work with the Hunterdon County's Homeland Security Department, specifically with Detective Kevin Bird. Detective Kevin Bird and his colleagues visit our buildings and campuses, assess their overall safety, and make recommendations for improvement based upon their own experiences, constant research, and information shared with our other first responders. The district incorporates Detective Bird's recommendations and thus continually improves the safety of our buildings and grounds. The district also works closely with the Clinton Township Police Department. They have a large presence in and around our schools. They work in a very collaborative way with our administrators on a daily basis. Our district feels very fortunate to have such a collaborative relationship with both the county's Homeland Security Department and memorandum of agreement with the law enforcement, which is required. It gives them access to keys, cameras in case of emergency. It also ensures a faster and more efficient response. The district's Facilities and Finance Committee has regular, meaningful conversations, along with our administration, regarding how to ensure the safety of all those who enter any of our campuses and their associated buildings. Over the years, the district has spent well over $1 million to upgrade the security of our buildings. Many, if not most of those upgrades, have not and cannot be disclosed to the public in order to maintain their effectiveness. The pursuit of providing the most secure campuses and buildings never stops. In September, our Facilities and Finance Committee will once again convene to discuss the next steps necessary to maintain and improve the safety and security of our district. We will review options to hire professionals that further specialize in school safety to assess the district as it is today. The goal will be to recommend to the full board the best possible team of experts to conduct the next assessment of our district's overall security in order to design any necessary improvements. We will have a more detailed report at the September monthly Board of Education meeting. I have another update. I need a drink. I'm going to read a joint statement from the Clinton Township Education Association and the Clinton Township Board of Education. On Monday, August 13th, 2018, members from both the Clinton Township Education Association and the Board of Education's negotiations team participated in a mediation session with the aid of a state-appointed mediator lasting approximately 8 hours. During this mediation session, both groups discussed and exchanged proposals seeking changes in contract language, including an additional evening conference, modifications to healthcare benefits and contributions, compensation, professional development, sick leave bank, and stipends. Both sides worked in a very honest and collaborative way to continue understanding each other's challenges, concerns, and goals for each of these topics. However, a final settlement could not be reached during this mediation session, and it was mutually decided that the process should move to fact-finding, which is the next stage of the negotiations process when an agreement cannot be reached in mediation. Both parties remain hopeful that fact-finding will lead to a resolution of the parties' outstanding issues and a mutually acceptable agreement. One more, last one. This is a letter that the staff, if you have checked your email, you should have received it, but I'm going to read it again. It says, "Dear Clinton Township School District staff, the entire Clinton Township Board of Education hopes that you enjoyed your summer with family and friends and had time to relax. It is hard to believe that the summer is over and the school is starting in less than 2 short weeks. As part of the opening day agenda, we would like to invite you to attend a staff appreciation breakfast. The breakfast will be held on Wednesday, August 29th from 8 to 8:30 a.m. Breakfast will include bagels, yogurt, orange juice, water, coffee, juice, tea, fruit, and candy for consumption during the latter part of the day. All of us appreciate all of you do for our children, their families, and for the members of our community. We are looking forward to seeing you at this event. Enjoy the last few days of summer. Respectfully, the Clinton Township Board of Education." Now I think it's your turn.
It's my turn. Thank you.
Okay, I would like to report this evening the enrollment numbers for the district. 1,220 students currently enrolled as of today. We have all personnel hires complete, and I'd like to give you a little bit of a status of the what our buildings look like, and I have slides as well. So bear with me. It won't be your aunt's vacation.
It'll be brief.
That's really funny.
Yeah. So before I start with the slides, to give you some nice visuals of where we are with the buildings, I just wanted to touch base on a few things that we've been doing. It certainly has been a very busy 2 months. The Board of Ed did make tours last week and today. CTEA leadership toured this morning, which I was very happy that we were able to do that. All schools are ready, classrooms are cleaned with furniture, and materials are delivered. Just anecdotally, the number of classrooms that were moved internally, and I asked Sue High for these numbers today, and she groaned when she gave them to me, 59 internal moves. The number of moves from building to building, 84. And I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you that Mrs. High unpacked and set up 56 herself. So when you see her, please say thank you. So although the unpack day is scheduled for tomorrow and you'll have a chance to organize classrooms, we've set that up for teachers. We are grateful for Mrs. High and her efforts.
And I think of that as a gift to the district that Mrs. High's given us as she's retiring and right after the holidays. So we do plan on honoring the whole team at our September monthly board meeting, and I hope you'll join us for that event. Just a little bit about the grounds. The grounds work really occurs at the end of the summer. They weren't really very happy about all the rain. There was quite a bit of mowing and raining and mowing and raining and mowing again. And lots of weeding took place as a result of all this rain. So today, some of the flower beds, the final mulch layers went in, looks beautiful. So as you see, as you go into your buildings, you'll see how nice it looks. Playgrounds, mulching will be, we have a large mulch being delivered. It's a specialized mulch for playground specific. Has to be a certain amount of layers for the children to play safely. We did have the playground equipment surveyed for the appropriateness and safety for the age levels. Patrick McGarren is exactly the age level that will be in the building. Spruce Run happens to have two playgrounds, one of which is better for the preschool children. So that will be, that's in the fenced area. It's weeded, it's ready. Mulch will be placed in there next week as well. And we'll have signs delineating. We're hoping maybe the kids can come up with a nice name for their playground. So we'll give them a little bit of guidance on that and how little ones can be. So a couple of things that also, with our reorganization, we had some number of useful areas that were developed. Here at CTMS, a workstation for teachers in where the Child Study Team Center had been. So there's counter space, the copier is there, the laminator will be there as well. At Round Valley School, a design lab, that was actually in the plans last spring. It's a great space. We've repurposed tables. We're really responsible with the way we're using our materials. So we repurposed tables and painted them with whiteboard paint. And yes, we do want the kids to draw on them. They need to collaborate. They can write on these tables with the whiteboard markers. So they'll be able to work in the design lab. The science kits are in that location as well, the FOSS kits, and there's a number of manipulatives. It's a maker space in theory. So that's a very exciting area. Additionally, at Round Valley, there are some other areas for multi-class work meeting areas on both levels of the building. You'll notice for the teachers that are working in there, you'll notice when you walk into some of the classrooms that air conditioning has been added, as well as PMG. Spruce Run, hosting our youngest learners, continues to include art, music, PE. We have facilities all still remaining for those, so children will be able to partake in those things. Special Services is also housed at Spruce Run with Miss Ingram at the helm, and you'll see Michelle Noor and Heather Bird up there as well. Some other projects that have been completed throughout the district, along with the moves, were some furniture replacements, some upgrades at all of the facilities, except the middle school. We're in pretty good shape here. We had some new cafeteria tables at Round Valley, which was much needed, some kindergarten furniture at PMG, and some other things that needed replacement. So it was a good time to spruce things up. We have the HR staff now has been hired and will be teachers that are here. Glad you're here tonight. Thank you. You'll be meeting those people on the 29th, so when we have all of our staff together. We also have all the teaching staff hired, the resignations that we had this summer, medical issues, people moving closer to home, some staff wanting to stay home with their children, so that's very nice. We wish them well. Cafeteria aides have also been hired. We have some additional cafeteria aides. This week, classroom assignments, or last week at the end of the week, classroom assignments went out. We did have a glitch with our power school system that has been addressed. We had 40 emails from parents, they've been answered, and schedules with teachers' names are now out with families, which is nice. If there's a parent in the audience that did not get that information, please call in tomorrow. You can call the technology office, curriculum and technology, if you haven't received that. We've also understood that if you are a parent that has opted out of receiving any of our notifications, that also will opt you out of receiving things like bus routes, schedules, and other important information. So it's always a good idea to go in and check to make sure you haven't opted out or marked us as spam. Please don't do that. That's happened occasionally. And then updating your information is always a good thing, just to go in and check PowerSchool so that you have the right to do that. You have the ability to go in and check your email settings. Transportation has also gone out. They did that on Saturday morning. So we have a few transportation questions that have been coming into the transportation office. Mrs. Shaw is answering those questions. So if you have any question, please call the board office and we'll deal with that for you. So tomorrow, when the teachers come back, a couple of things that we've done to make life easier. We will have movers from our moving company. They are sending two people per building to help you if you would like to, you know, move a file cabinet here or there, or a bookcase, or, you know, move some tables if you prefer your classroom set up differently than it's already been done. We have people to help you. We will have district technology staff in each building. If you have any questions or concerns about something that is not working properly, or you'd like it hooked up differently, or you need a light bulb or something and a projector, we'll help you out. Central office administration, myself, will be out in the buildings, out and about. If you have any questions or concerns, we'll be there to hear them. So I'm looking forward to seeing everybody tomorrow. Wednesday, we have our welcome breakfast. Thank you to the Board of Ed. I look forward to seeing everyone there as well. We have a few of our housekeeping things in the morning, saying hello and a couple of niceties, and then we get off to professional development. And there's quite a list. We'll have some technology department training. We're using e-forms this year. We're hoping to save a few trees and make the process a little quicker for things like, you know, absence requests, things like that, where it should be a nice system. Sarah Buxton for the ELA teachers, park data review. We have right to know training for science and art teachers and probably our custodial maintenance staff as well. Discovery tech book training for grade 7-8 science teachers. We have harassment, intimidation, bullying training for all staff. Mentor meeting for teachers who will be mentoring our new teachers, and they'll be meeting with their partner teacher there. Data analysis discussion for all K-5 math teachers. We have Moby Max training, which is also a math program. Cross-grade articulation for all staff. Gives you a chance maybe to go to another building. I know sometimes the nurses like to get together. If you have groups that would like to meet building to building, that's fine. GCN trainings, if those are our state mandated online trainings, we'll have opportunity and time for that. And that's quite a full day. Thursday, August 30th, teachers and staff will be reporting directly to their buildings. They'll be able to have building and department meetings in the morning, final touch-ups to classrooms, and it's visitation day. So we'll be greeting the students. There's a schedule that's posted online, and it's in our latest edition of Moving Forward. And that's a very busy afternoon. If you have children in more than one building, you'll know what I mean by the end of the day. So it's a lot of visitation. It's a very exciting day. So we hope to see you for that. Back to school night, those dates are also posted on the website and as well on the last two issues of Moving Forward. So if you have any questions on those dates, please give a shout. I'd like to give you just a preview. Sometimes it's better to see it. So these are fresh grounds today. Newly mowed, did get the wheelbarrow in there, sorry about that, PMG. Mulch being placed, we had lots of people out there weeding and beautifying the space. It looks terrific. And actually last week, one of the mornings felt like September. It was a little eerie. It was kind of a chilly morning and I thought, oh boy, here we go, September's coming. So our timetable, we began July 2018 with the packing, moving, and cleaning in Spruce Run, Patrick McGarren, and Round Valley School. It was a very well choreographed set of happenings. There were people in every building. They were packing, they were moving, they were cleaning. As we moved things out of a room, the room got cleaned, and it was very well done. We had to wait for the middle school to begin that process because the middle school is very busy in July. We have summer ESY program and then summer rec from the township. So the building is utilized during the entire month of July. So we were able to do all of the other buildings in July and then wait until August before we began the middle school. So sixth grade materials, we're kind of waiting at bay over at Round Valley to be delivered over here. They were waiting in the hallway. It looked like the kids lined up as all the boxes. As soon as we had space ready and things were moved around in this building, the items began to come over. We did complete the moves on August 17th, which was ahead of schedule. Moving company waved goodbye, said thank you very much. We were very pleased with them. Great people to work with. They got rained on. The only thing that didn't happen was snow. I think we had hail. It rained, the sun would come out, the hail would come, and they smiled the whole time. So it was really a very nice group to work with. This is the data that I gave you. The moves within the buildings were 59, moves to other buildings, 84. Interestingly, as we started the process of talking about the moves and continued our conversations, it really made sense among the administrative team when we started to talk about, well, if we're putting the third grade here, wouldn't it make more sense to have Mrs. So-and-so over here too? And so that's how the moves began to develop. So it was a little bit of an organic process during the whole move. It made a lot of sense. So this is Spruce Run, a pre-K room, and this is a sensory room. Everything's nice and shiny and clean. Patrick McGarren, everything's in great shape. I think the teachers will find that they go in that they're a little bit surprised at how organized things are already. If things have not been organized in the way that you would place them, you certainly shuffle things around. The idea was to make it as easy as possible. You will find your 3 to 5 boxes of materials that have arrived waiting for you to unpack, so please check those in. I know Elizabeth over here likes her packing slips, so you can't go wrong with that. So I needed to definitely show you a couple of befores and a couple of afters. So this one's not too bad. But this is a typical room. Things were moved in, tables were placed, and this was at Patrick McGarren. So that was a before, and then that's the after. I equate, and as I was speaking with people this morning as we're going on tours and last week, the primary schools are a lot like having a minivan when your children are young, because you have a lot of stuff. And then you finally graduate to the point where you don't need the minivan and you don't have to carry all your kids' things, that you have less. So that seems to be the way the move went. So, and the movers were surprised. They're not necessarily people that are used to seeing classrooms, and so they go in, they go, wow, they have a lot of stuff, a lot of neat stuff, but they have a lot of stuff. So they took a lot of care with packing up things, wrapping them in plastic. They were really great about it. This is Round Valley School. Classrooms look terrific. I do have to say we have really great storage in each building. It's very nice. This is a before. This is one of Sue's really tough ones, I have to tell you. And she did conquer it. So that's the before, and that's the after. So the beforehand, I think there was maybe a path in the classroom. So this is the middle school. Everything's great, everything's ready. The top picture shows that's our, it's the newest science lab. This space was converted from, it was Life Skills when the school opened 10 years ago. This is a great space for science. There are desks in the center like all of the other science labs. There are, it's difficult to see, I apologize. On either side, there are countertop areas with stools for students to work and partner. And this space happens to have 2 very large tables. It used to be for sewing. This is perfect for the sixth grade science units. They do a lot of growing of plants, so they have some great space back there. So a couple of things with improvement projects. PMG, there was a classroom that had a new tile floor put in. Below that is, that's a cooling system at Round Valley School. No, I did not get on the roof for that. Dan actually climbed up there for me. The top right is the design lab over at Round Valley with our repurposed tables that have been painted with whiteboard paint. It's a great space. You'll see the science kits on both sides. And below is the CTMS work area for the teachers with the copier and the laminator. And I have to show you the team. Yeah, Sue, she looks a little like Vanna White. She wasn't real happy with me taking that picture, but I had to put that in there. So that's where we are with things. I have to say that this was a tremendous undertaking. It was not just one person. It was a huge team effort. It took a lot of cooperation, a lot of patience with each other. People made good friends. There was a lot of laughter in it, and so the experience was a positive one with a very nice outcome. So thank you. Do any board members have any questions for Mrs. Cohn?
I have a couple questions. As I walked around, there were a couple of rooms where I had noticed like maybe the kidney-shaped table was missing, and so we made some adjustments with rooms. But if a teacher walks in tomorrow and they thought they had a particular item, I know I'm privy to like have a chair, and I always want to make sure my chair's in my room. So if they come in tomorrow and there's something missing, is there a process for missing items if there are any?
Yes, if there is a missing item that needs to be reported to the building principal, we'll have a list and we will hunt it down. If it's something that needs to be replaced or if it just got placed someplace else, we'll find it for you. But we will have a way to get things for you. Additionally, if you're in a classroom and you decide, wow, I have a lot of things, I need a new bookshelf, please let us know. I know that additional bookshelves were purchased as we, you know, as the unpacking began and we saw, wow, you know, this classroom really needs more shelving in it. They were purchased for you. But if you think that you need something and you don't have it there, let us know. We'll get it for you.
Same goes if something happens to be broken?
Yeah, if there's something broken, absolutely let us know. So, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for all your hard work.
Do I send a roll call before public comment or not?
When did roll call?
No, for like her, except your comments, yeah.
I'm going to move on to the public comment section of the agenda. This is our first public comment section on agenda items only. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 9322 limits comments to 3 minutes. We will adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is only for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This, too, is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions or comments that a member of the public will make at the microphone. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or questions, they will be answered at the conclusion of the public comment section. To the extent any other action or research is warranted, it will be addressed by the board president or superintendent of schools as appropriate. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on the topic have been heard. If you would like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We will be limiting this public comment section on agenda items only to 30 minutes.
Chuck Roberto, 8th grade language arts teacher and president of the Clinton Township Education Association. I've spoken several times in the past about my fear that our district will begin to lose quality teachers due to healthcare contributions outweighing raises, resulting in a negative net pay. It seems we're seeing this happen. At the conclusion of the 17-18 school year, we witnessed 12 retirements, and not all of them were because the employees wanted to end their careers. Several spoke to me about it not making sense financially for them to keep working. In addition to those 12 retirements, we lost an additional 12 employees, many of whom went to other districts. In a world where the cost of living continues to rise, teachers cannot continue to take home less money each year. Although we understand the impact the 19% healthcare premium increase will have on the Board of Education's budget, it is important to keep in mind that each teacher's individual contribution will also increase by 19%. Without relief of some sort that will enable teachers to bring home more money than these increasing healthcare contributions, we can expect the number of teachers leaving the district to either an early retirement or to work in another district to become a trend. Turning over 10% of the teaching staff in a year is not good for continuity or morale, and it is certainly not good for the students. I hope you will not allow this mass exodus to become a trend. Thank you.
Please put your name. Thank you.
Does anyone else wish to approach the board on agenda items only? Okay, I'm going to close that section of the agenda, and I'm going to open up public comment for the first recognition of the public. This section will be only for comments made by the public on school-related matters only. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This, too, is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions or comments the board member of the public will have at the microphone. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or questions, they will be answered at the conclusion of the public comment section. We will gather all of the questions asked at the podium this evening and answer them at the conclusion of the public comment section. To the extent any other action or research is warranted, it will be addressed by the board president or superintendent of schools as appropriate. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 167 limits comments to 3 minutes. We will adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you would like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We will be limiting this public comment section on agenda items to 30 minutes.
I'll have to point out.
Yeah. Okay.
Sonia Dominakis. I live at 56 Haytown Road. My two kids come to the district. We'll be at Patrick McGarren for the first time and fifth grader at Round Valley. I also teach here at CTMS since 2012. My question is in regards to Spruce Run School. I know that part of the reorganization plan had included options for using vacant parts of the building in some other way, possibly as a money generating facility. And I'm curious, I hadn't heard anything, if you had found some other group to fill the other parts of Spruce Run School that will be empty. I was also curious as to how much of the building in terms of rooms or percentage of the building is going to be vacant next year. If it's going to be vacant, that's one thing. If an outside group is coming in to use part of the building, you know, what were the security considerations that were taking place over the summer to set things up for the little guys and the staff members that will be utilizing that building in a couple weeks? Thanks.
Thanks. Would anyone else like to approach the microphone?
Oh my God, look at them, Kevin.
Hi, Mary Claire Spadone, 115 Overlook Drive. Welcome back, everybody. Happy end of summer. I am reading a statement on behalf of the CTA as the union secretary. This was a letter sent out earlier this morning to each of the board members in your mailbox at the Board of Ed office. Good morning, Clinton Township Board of Education members. On August 17th, the Board of Education extended an offer to provide breakfast for the CTA during Wednesdays in service. On that date, the CTA felt that it would be in our best interest to respectfully decline the offer due to the current status of our expired contract. Despite our request, we understand that the Board of Education is choosing to move forward with the breakfast and that any uneaten food will potentially be donated to a local food pantry. We would hate to see any perishable items go to waste since these items cannot be donated, so please reconsider moving forward with the breakfast. We appreciate the gesture, but under the circumstances, our conscience leads us to still decline the offer. We do look forward to breaking bread next year under a fair and settled contract. Kind regards, the Clinton Township Education Association.
Ms. Bonone, I just want to clarify, you said that they were on our Board of Ed mailboxes?
That is correct.
And that was on August 17th?
No, that was this morning.
This morning.
Oh, this morning.
But on August 17th is when we had originally declined the offer.
Okay, just for future reference, most board members read their email. I didn't even know I had a mailbox.
Neither did I.
Okay.
Correspondence is usually done through paper as well.
Does anybody else want to come forward and approach the board? Seeing none, I'm going to end the second. Sonia's question. Go ahead.
I'd just like to thank you, Sonia, for the question regarding Spruce Run. So the plans for Spruce Run are for future. We haven't gone full with anything yet. We do have some things to look at with, as you've mentioned, you know, access to the building, security, how will we do that? Currently, what's being used is the one pod. I don't want to really say where children are right now in a public meeting. There's one pod with children in it. We still have classrooms for them for Unified Arts, so those are still intact. We do have a section for storage. We have our own little garage sale, so if anybody needs anything, rather than get rid of things, I'm all about repurposing. So there are some spaces over there with additional chairs and desks and things that teachers might say, oh, I need this, and we can find it. We have it inventoried. So there are plans for the future. We're still looking into all of those possibilities to bring appropriate programming into that space and take care of all the things we would need to in the building. So not yet, but coming. So thank you.
I want to add to that if we designate a particular program, we would communicate it to the staff and to the public, and it wouldn't be something that we just implement. We would apprise everyone of that. Moving on, I would like to close the first recognition of the public, and I'd like to move on to the report of our school business administrator, Mr. Kilpatrick.
Just for public knowledge, the next board meeting is scheduled at this point, September 24th at 7:30 here in the auditorium. And there is one item on the agenda for budget item transfers for the report through August 23rd that was presented at the Facilities and Finance Committee last week.
Motion to accept the report.
Yes.
I need a motion to accept the business administrator's report.
Motion.
Mrs. Olasky, second.
Second.
Mrs. Brooks.
Thank you. Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Dr. Foy?
Yes.
Mr. Holliday?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Olowski?
Yes.
Mrs. Radaga is out and Ms. Grant is out. Motion passes.
I'd like to move on tonight to our committee reports. I'd like to have Mr. Malloy give our facilities and finance report.
Sure, thank you, Ms. McLaughlin. The Facilities and Finance Committee met on August the 23rd, covering a pretty wide variety of topics. Fiscal year 18, financial wrap-up, setting the audit schedule for the fiscal year 18 audit planning. A lot of the topics that were outlined tonight about the reorg and the move were discussed. Talking about HIB training, not only for teachers, but for folks like the people who are going to be working at Masseo's, getting that all done, transportation, et cetera, et cetera. So since a lot of that was already covered in great detail by the superintendent's outstanding report, I think what I'll do is just move forward and tell you that we're moving 24 items tonight. Payment of bills, as Mr. Kilpatrick pointed out, technology upgrade, association dues, continuing education coursework and training on four items, grant filing and approval for HIB training, as I said, for employees and contractors, stipend approval, consulting services approval, five specific items related to IEP compliance, as well as an approval for substitution services for speech language, as well as nursing. So, with that stated, I respectfully move items 19FF041, through, I have the math in my head, let me see, through 19FF064.
get a second.
Second. I'm trying to catch up. I need a motion to...
No, he made it.
I moved.
Oh, he motioned. Oh, he motioned. Any second?
Second.
Oh, anyone? I can't hear you. Sorry. Second. Mrs. Braddon. Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Malloy this evening?
I have one, just because it's come up before, and I see two of the nurses and the staff. There's the Delta T and the cost per hour. There were comments made at previous meetings about the rate for nurses on staff versus the Delta T cost. Are those in agreement with past, you know, that they're getting paid consistently with? I think there was the Delta T folks' cost for a nurse versus the available costing for our current staff was to be consistent.
You want to know that it's commensurate?
Yep.
Yes, and I believe it is. Confirming that with Mr. Kilpatrick right now, but I believe it is.
Let's get back on it.
Yeah.
So I know it's been asked before. I wanted to be consistent.
I have to ask Mr. Gagliardi.
Yes.
There is an action item that should be tabled. I'm going to ask it to be tabled. Do I need to ask for a friendly amendment or?
If you identify it and the mover and seconder are willing to withdraw it from their motion.
Okay, action 19, PN051.
Oh, PN.
Mr. Malloy, Mrs. Brennan.
PN?
Mm-hmm. That action item should not have been placed on tonight's agenda.
Sorry, can you repeat the number?
051.
051.
051.
That's criminal negotiations.
Are you okay with something again?
Yeah.
So the friendly amendment is whether Mr. Malloy and Mrs. Brennan are willing to draw that.
I'm FF. You're tabling a personnel negotiations item, Mrs. McLaughlin?
See, I'm in the wrong place in the agenda? Yep.
51, it's Macchio's HIV training.
Okay, so I'm in the wrong section.
So you do want PM?
Yeah. All right, so I'll table it in the next round.
Well, yeah, we'll just make sure that it's not moved in the next round, but that has got nothing to do, so you can proceed.
Okay.
Roll.
All right, I noticed it was on here and it was it. Shouldn't it? Okay.
Roll call.
Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Dr. Foy?
Yes.
Mr. Holliday?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Orlowski?
Yes.
Ms. Grant are absent. Motion carries.
Thank you. Mr. Malloy, we're going to move on to our personnel negotiations. Ms. Orlowski, will you give your report this evening?
Yes. Sorry, I'm just making a note based on what you said.
So she has to skip that?
Yeah, she makes a motion.
Okay. Okay.
I'll just do everything around it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you. Okay, the personnel committee met via email since the July board meeting. That's a typo on my part. And we had 12 action items. Now I think we have 11. I wanted to start off with the fact that we have multiple new hires, which is always exciting for both the district and the new employees. I believe that they completed their orientation last week, and the board would like to extend a very warm welcome to the following new employees and wish them the best of luck in their new positions with the district. And I apologize if I mispronounce anyone's name. I am not the best at this. So. Robin O'Hearn, Nima St. Rose, Megan Davis, Christine Parkhurst, Gina Bunicelli, Christine Quinn, Susan Simonelli, and Linda McClurg, Mary Poling, and Nancy Rochelle. Okay. Also equally exciting is the action item to approve the contract for Michelle Cohn as acting superintendent pursuant to prior action items 19-PN-018 and 019, unanimously approved at the July 23rd board meeting. There's also an action item to approve co-curricular advisors and coaches, and another to approve event chaperones, all at CTMS for the 2018-19 school year. There's an action item to approve the webmaster for the 18-19 school year. There are a couple of changes to staff assignments which were presented for approval at the June board meeting so as to include additional grade levels covered by the teacher's responsibilities.
There's an action item to approve staff designated in the agenda to provide the following services: student transition services, teaching during the 2018 ESY program and the summer CST evaluation period, participation in professional development days occurring on non-working days for that staff, and training on study programs, ABA strategies, and classroom procedures. There's also a couple of amendments to a prior action item, 18-PN-038, to reflect the correct salary and start date for a school psychologist and to reflect a change in position from fourth grade to third grade for an in-class support teacher. Lastly, there are amendments to action item 19-PN-046 that I will read. The following change is being presented to the new professionals presented being hired for the 2018-19 school year as indicated.
Mr. Kilpatrick, do you know exactly what changed?
The date changed on the effective date.
Okay, so the effective date changed from, sorry, I'll tell you in a second.
It changed to January 11th.
Yeah, so it was December 23rd, 2018, and it changed to January 11th, 2019. And how about the second change for that? Lori Gent.
Yes, Lori Gent.
Is that just an addition?
That's just an addition.
Okay, and we are adding Lori Gent to the list of professionals being hired, so we would like to also extend a warm welcome to her as she starts her new position. Okay. With that, I would like to put forth a motion for action items 19-PN-044 through 19-PN-050 and 052 through 055.
So now clarify?
Hold again at the table.
So said it was one.
We need to clarify an action item.
Okay.
And give it to Mr. Gagliardi.
So there's one item on 5-2 that is being pulled for this evening by the superintendent.
Okay.
Without the superintendent's recommendation, the board can't act. So let me just have the superintendent clarify that.
Okay.
And then you can move that from your motion.
Okay.
So we're pulling for tonight the boys' assistant soccer coach. We're pulling that because we're also pulling the assistant. The previous motion for the assistant soccer coach and the assistant girls volleyball coach. We're going to table that for tonight.
So the respectful request then of Ms. Alaska is that from the motion you just made, you remove the positions just articulated by the superintendent.
Okay. So from action item 19-PN-052, I will remove the boys' assistant soccer position from the list.
Okay, thank you. You can ask for a second now,
Madam
President.
Okay.
Was it also?
And girls volleyball.
Was it also the volleyball?
It is also the volleyball.
But the assistant volleyball is not listed.
But that's 51. That was up here.
Okay, that's 51. The primary volleyball. Okay. That's not listed.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
second to Mrs. Olowski.
Sal, second.
I think Mr. Holliday heard first. Does anyone have any questions for Mrs. Olowski tonight? No questions?
I just want to be clear, we're taking out the boys' assistant soccer only, not the...
So 51 wasn't part of the motion?
Yeah, yeah.
And then that assistant coach is okay. Not part of it.
That's, I just want to make sure I'm right.
Yeah.
Okay, roll call please.
Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Dr. Foy?
Yes.
Mr. Holliday?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Olowski?
Yes.
Mrs. R. and Ms. Grant are absent.
Mrs. R.
Nice. Motion carries. I'm sorry.
That's
all right. I'm
sleeping. I'm getting the hang of this.
That's smart.
Not yet. I would like to give the policy and curriculum report. The policy and curriculum committee met on August 13th for an extended period of time. We have six items tonight to bring forward. The Board of Education is approving the submission of the Comprehensive Equity Plan, which is an annual statement for assurance. We are approving two district goals that are related to staff and the framework language for observations, as well as student achievement. We're approving the second reading of a social media policy, corresponding regulation as presented to the board. We will be approving the readoption of all existing curriculum to be used during the 2018-19 school year. So it's not a change to the curriculum, it's just an annual readoption. We also received feedback at the last board meeting from a parent about back-to-school night dates. So we have amended our calendar so that back-to-school nights are as follows. Spruce Run will be on September 6th. Patrick McGarren will be on September 12th. Round Valley will be on September 13th. And the middle school will have two back-to-school nights. Grade 6 will be on September 17th, and grade 7 and 8 will be on September 20th. We also are approving requests for pupil transportation for those students that might have dual residences within Clinton Township. So with that being said, I have six action items tonight to put forward. Action item 19 PC 13 through action item 19 PC 18. Do I have a second?
Second.
Dr. Foy, any questions? Seeing none, roll call.
Mrs. Brennan?
No on PC 15, yes on the rest.
Just, I'm sorry, which was no, 015?
Zero.
Yeah, I'm sorry, 015.
Okay, thank you. Mrs. Brooks?
Yes to all.
Dr. Foy?
Yes.
Mr. Holliday?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
No on 015, yes on the rest.
Thank you. Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes to all.
Mrs. Olowski?
Yes.
Mrs. R, Ms. Grant are absent. Motion carries.
Thanks. Moving on to the feasibility of school closing. We have no action to move forward at this time. I'm now going to open up for old business of the board. Do any of the board members have any old business that they would like to discuss?
I think this is old business. We approved an equal project.
Lana, I don't, can you just move the mic to you? I can't hear you.
You don't want me amplified.
I do, I can't hear you.
We approved an Eagle project back in July, and I happen to have some scouts who sent me some photos who helped work on the project, and I wanted to say it looks absolutely amazing, and I think that it's a really great addition to Round Valley, and I was wondering if it was possible that maybe he could come and, you know, show at the September 3rd meeting to show what a great job he did.
Sure, we can definitely reach out. And do you have a contact information?
I can probably get it.
Okay, great. You might have some insight into that, Mrs. Brooks. Does anyone else have any old business? Does anyone have any new business of the board? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to move on to the second recognition of the public. I'm opening the floor for the second recognition of the public. This section is for members of the public to express themselves in school matters of community interest. We will follow the same outline as detailed in the first public comment section on agenda items only. If you would like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We will be limiting this public comment section to 10 minutes. Anyone?
Bueller? You always wanted to say that.
I'm always wanting to say that. So we're going to move on, and I'm going to close the recognition of the public as I see no one in line waiting to speak to us. We are going to not have a second executive session, so do I just skip that on the agenda?
You sure do.
Okay. And I'm going to move to every board member's favorite part of the night, adjournment. So do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second. Mrs. Brennan? Mrs. Olowski, second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposition? Abstentions? Good luck tomorrow.